The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
I think if the court overrules Roe v. Wade and does what it's draft.
What we fear they will.
Well, if that occurs, I think we have to legislate it. We have to make sure we pass legislation making it a law that is the federal government says this is how it works.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I am speechless when I hear that, right? That was the President of the United States last week. I don't know if you saw it. I don't think a whole lot of people saw his interview. He's not done a lot of interviews with media. He went on Jimmy Fallon. Of course, it was all pre-recorded. I'm sure Jimmy let him know what questions are going to be asked. Yeah, that was Joe Biden promising to legislate Roe into federal law regardless of what the Supreme Court rules. You know, I sit here and I'm thinking, and forgive me, I know this, people get so mad at me when I talk about this issue. They really do. That man should be excommunicated. That's my personal opinion. It's not the position of the bishops or the church. You know, everybody has a different stance on that. My position is that man should be excommunicated. Not only denied reception of the Eucharist till he publicly repents and amends his ways, but he is continuing to advance and promise the advancement of legislation that will kill the most vulnerable amongst us. Those are children in the womb. He promised. I promise to legislate Roe into federal law regardless of what the Supreme Court rules. Aren't we three co-equal branches of government? You want to use your power to make sure that death is enshrined in this country? I'm sorry. I don't know where you stand on this. Maybe you think, Drew, you're so partisan. This has nothing to do with partisan politics. Nothing. Nada. Right? Nothing at all. This is about a man who is promising. Look, the Catholic Church is very clear on this, right? Abortion is a grave evil. It's a grave evil. If you have an abortion and you're aware of that, you're automatically excommunicated. Joe Biden is well aware of what happens. He claims to be Catholic. He claims to be a good Catholic. He claims the Pope said he was a good Catholic. I don't believe any of that. I really don't. And I'm really getting tired of it, to be honest with you. Some people might think I'm crossing the line. I don't think I'm crossing the line. I don't think I'm crossing the line at all. When I hear that audio, it drives me crazy. It really just pushed my button today when I heard that. That man needs not only to not be able to receive the Eucharist until he publicly repents and acts like a Catholic, but we as Catholics should be outraged and we should be trying to defend our Lord, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. And if we truly cared about our brother, if you are your brother's keeper, then you should be concerned about Joe Biden. You should be praying for him, fasting for him, and you should hope that he doesn't continue to eat his own condemnation by receiving the Eucharist unworthily. Now, honestly, I got to take the plank out of my own eye before I take the speck out of anybody else's. And we all have to receive the Eucharist worthily, all of us. If you are in a mortal state of sin, if you're in a serious state of sin, you should not be receiving the Eucharist. If you haven't been to confession in a long, long time, you should do some introspection. That's my personal position here. You know, so I want you to know where I stand on that issue. But I'm going to ask you today, pray in a special way for this man. Pray for all the scandal that is being spread and how many other people who are so lukewarm and uninformed in their faith are saying, oh, Joe Biden's Catholic. Yeah. Oh, it's okay to be, you know, it's okay to be Catholic. Like protesting outside the Supreme Court houses and outside the Supreme Court building, I saw people holding signs saying Catholic, you know, abortion is a Catholic right. And I'm thinking, what Catholic church do you go to? Huh? What Catholic church do you go to? Go read the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Go talk to any priest. Go talk to your bishop if you really believe that. That's the deception that's taking place every single day. People see that and they believe that. That's why we need good, well-informed Catholics. You know, Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, was asked this week about, you know, all the violence that we're seeing against pro-life centers. And again, she's another one. You know, and I want to thank Archbishop Cordiglione for his stance, saying, hey, Nancy, I love you. I'm concerned about the future of your soul. You need to publicly repent. You can't receive Eucharist in this diocese here. And a number of other bishops followed her as well. She was asked, hey, Nancy, what about all this violence that we're seeing? You know, Molotov cocktails, graffiti, destruction, threats at these pro-life centers. Do you condemn it? She refused to answer the question. But she went on this long diatribe about it's a woman's right to choose. And she invoked again the name of her Catholic faith. She and Joe Biden love to profess how Catholic they are. Take a listen to this exchange.
A woman has a right to choose, to live up to her responsibility. It's up to her, her doctor, her family, her husband, her significant other, and her God. This talk of politicizing all of this, I think, is something uniquely American and not right. Other countries, Ireland, Italy, Mexico, have had initiatives to expand a woman's right to choose. Very Catholic countries. I'm a very Catholic person, and I believe in every woman's right to make her own decisions.
Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi. Let me share with you, again, highlighting a little bit of what she says and ultimately what she believes. And again, I do the same thing. I'll please call you to pray for her. I pray every day for our elected officials. Every single day. She was asked about whether or not she agreed with Pope Saint John II and Pope Francis that abortion is murder. What I agree on is whether I agree with the popes on is not necessarily public policy. What it should be in the United States is people make their own judgments and honor their own responsibility, tend to the needs of their families. I'm thinking, what is that? I mean, I don't understand. What are you saying? What are you saying? Either you agree or you don't agree. And that babble about a woman has a right to choose to live up to her responsibility. What does that mean? It's up to her, her doctor, her family, her husband, her significant other, her God. You know, it's just, and I'll leave it alone at this point, but you talk about politicizing, you know. Pelosi certainly needs our prayers. She does. She certainly needs our prayers. Over the years, she defended abortion multiple times while citing her Catholic faith. And again, I go back to the same thing I said about Joe Biden. Scandal. It's scandalous. It's confusing to a lot of people. And look, I think Merrick Garland, he should be ousted. There was another building of a pro-life organization that was vandalized this week, and employees of the Minnesota Citizens Council, or no, their group is what? Concerned for Life. Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life. That was the group. They found that their building was graffitied, windows were broken. When they got to work that morning, and thank God nobody was there. Thank God nobody got hurt. But someone scrolled the words. Now look at the evil here. Abortion is liberation. It's really quite the opposite. Abortion is death, right? Abortion is slavery. And they wrote that in the front of the window. I mean, liberation for who? For you? You know, it's death to the child in the womb. Yeah. Again, this clinic's in South Minneapolis, and interestingly, there were no signs on it, any other, you know, other than the building number. It just had a building number. That's it. No sign. Didn't say, hey, the MCC for Life. You know, it didn't say Minnesota, you know, Citizens Concerned for Life building. Just the number. So a group calling itself Abolish Media took credit for it. Here's what they said. They said their offices and infrastructures could. You know, their offices and infrastructures deserve the same fate, if not worse, than that of the dozens of fake pregnancies clinics in Minneapolis-St. Paul area that carry out the vision of the MCCL. And again, this is just the latest. I've been reporting on this when it first began. I reported on the very first attack. This is the latest of more than 50 attacks on churches and pro-life centers around the country since May 2nd, when the draft opinion of Dobbs was leaked. And we learned today that the FBI is finally going to get around to investigating them. Well, they should. Of course, the White House did decry it, and I'm glad they did that. I want to give them credit when it's deserved. The FBI is investigating a series of attacks and threats targeting pregnancy resource centers and faith-based organizations. The agency said in a statement, it says the FBI takes all threats seriously, and we continue to work closely with our law enforcement partners and will remain vigilant to protect our communities. Now, this comes after a coalition of pro-life groups and some members of Congress. They wrote a letter to the Attorney General. They wrote a letter to AG Merrick Garland, and they demanded an investigation and arrest of the lawbreakers. I'll go back to what I said yesterday. I don't want to keep repeating the same point. But if this happened to any other group, could you imagine if this happened to Planned Parenthood? Imagine 50 Planned Parenthood centers were firebombed and graffiti. What do you think the response would be? Don't you see the absolute reversal of common sense here? I mean, it's or the bias, I really should say, the partisanness of this. If it's something that helps women or promotes life or protects the child, forget it. If it's all about, you know, worshiping that dark demonic god of abortion, no problem. Now, in the meantime, as I said, the president is insisting he's going to do everything in his power to keep abortion legal throughout the country if the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. And I'll tell you right, if I was a gambling man, Roe v. Wade is going to be history. And if it's not this month, it will fall. I guarantee you. You know why? Because evil always feeds on itself. Evil always collapses. Evil is always destroyed. Good always wins. Here's what Biden says. The administration continues to explore every possible option in response to the anticipated Supreme Court decision. Of course, our options are limited. The White House spokesperson, I heard her say the other day, if the Supreme Court overturns Roe, she says, look, we need Congress to take action to restore Roe. House Speaker Pelosi, of course, you know, and Joe Biden and so many others. Boy, do they need our prayer. But let's pray for those who are perpetrating these horrible crimes, too. I mean, I maybe in their heart they think they're doing a good thing. I don't know. Clearly, there's a blindness and a disorientation going on there, and that's always a hallmark of the evil one. You know, so let's pray for a spirit of unity. Let's pray for let's ask God's mercy on them as well. I'm joined today by Brian Gibson. He's the executive director of Pro-Life Action Ministries in St. Paul. And you can check him out. Their website is PLAM.org, P-L-A-M, Pro-Life Action Ministries, PLAM.org. Easy way to remember it. He's been involved in the fight, or at least, you know, I think from the very beginning, really. Back in 89, I think he founded his organization. But you probably recognize the voice if you live in the Twin Cities there. He's the host of Living the Gospel of Life, and it's heard on WLOL there in, I think it's 1330 in the Twin Cities. You can check him out if you haven't heard it. Tune in Saturdays mornings at 11:30. He joins me today, though. Good to have you back, Brian. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to be on the show with you, Drew. Thank you.
Yeah, I am delighted to have you here. So frustrated, to be honest with you today, just by the rhetoric, the behavior, the policy, the actions, the betrayal of the Catholic faith that I see from so many of our leaders, and the continued violence and, you know, the vigilantism that we're seeing against pro-life centers across the country. I'd love your take on what you're seeing. 50 of these, and now all of a sudden the FBI is getting involved. Have you personally had to deal with this with Pro-Life Action Ministries, and what are your thoughts on what you're seeing unfold around the country, and how bad do you think it's going to get? I know it's a lot I threw at you, but I'll tell you that's all.
Lots of questions.
Yeah.
Well,
take it away.
First of all, yes, we have. Our building has been graffitied many times over the years. Just nothing since May 5th. So we haven't gotten included with everybody else around the country this time around. But, you know, we've been actively, you know, beefing up our property security. We got cameras and all that stuff. And we work well with the police department, our local authorities to make sure that they're keeping an eye on things and so forth. It's not, you know, foolproof. It doesn't mean we still can't be graffitied or worse. But, you know, we just do what we can do and keep going. So that's we usually don't talk about this too much publicly anyhow. It's because it just, I think in some degree it feeds on it. And I think that's happening right now. So when the first place, and it was in Madison, Wisconsin, when the attempt to firebomb the place took place in that location, it became news all across the country. Mm-hmm. And I think to some degree it's copycatting going on. There's that type of thing a little bit. So the more it's in the news, those very few fringe people out there are getting ideas, and so, you know, it feeds it a little bit. But eventually, that stops too, I think. And am I concerned? Not greatly. I mean, we take precautions. Mm-hmm. It'd be foolish not to. You know, we're on the streets in front of the abortion facilities every day, and we're not seeing a great change of anything happening since this draft decision came out on the streets. You know, we got people who have been calling us names for a long time as they drive by.
Let me ask you about that, though. So you're not necessarily being graffitied, and things haven't changed in terms of the animosity towards the work that you do. Clearly, across state borders, we're seeing vandalism, Molotov cocktails thrown into buildings, graffiti, et cetera, broken windows, threats of increased violence from these groups. They say they're going to ratchet it up. One group that was out there threatening more violence to come. I don't know what law enforcement is like when it comes to the pro-life movement in your area. Maybe you can speak to that, but I also just wonder why it took the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, so long to getting around to announcing an investigation. If this happened to 50 Planned Parenthoods, don't you think there would be outrage? If it happened to 50 synagogues, if it happened to some other place, I mean, the outrage would almost be immediate. What do you think the delay and the reaction, the lack of reaction is
well, some of this is purely political, and unfortunately that's the case coming from the top. I think when we're talking about law enforcement officials, we're talking about various police departments and so forth. Overwhelmingly, these men and women want to protect whoever needs to be protected. And I was talking to a longtime friend, former member of the St. Paul PD the other day, St. Paul Police Department, I'm sorry. He said, I had a job to protect Planned Parenthood just as I had a job to protect you. And he said, I would do both readily. And I looked at him and said, I would too. If somebody tried to harm somebody that works at Planned Parenthood, I'd lay my life down for them, as much as I'm willing to for the unborn children. So I think when we're talking about the regular men and women out there, the police departments out there, even some of the officials running these police departments, they want to do their job and they want to do it well. But then where the politics comes in is at the very top. You get, like, even here in St. Paul, our city attorney is the one that is telling and directing the police department how to handle protests and things like that. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they can't handle them the way they should. If they follow what the city attorney is saying and take it all the way up to the highest level now, and we're talking about the Attorney General of the United States, we're talking about the head of the FBI, they're very politically connected people, and our current administration is anti-life when it comes to the unborn. It's so clear, it's unbelievable. And so I'm not surprised that it took those highest officials this long to actually start engaging and acting as probably all the men and women working for them wanted to do from day one, just because of the politicizing of this issue.
Let's do this. Let's grab a call or two if you want to join us. 888-914-9149. We'll go to Bernie, who is listening in Wisconsin. Bernie, good afternoon. You are on the air.
Good afternoon. I'm somewhat of a senior citizen, but it seems like we learned growing up that even if a brother, sister, boyfriend, another girlfriend drove a woman to the abortion clinic and left her out, you incurred an automatic excommunication.
Yeah, you
ever heard that?
Yes, I have. And Brian, you can speak to that first if you want. I can follow up or vice versa, however you want to handle that.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Drew.
My understanding is this. You're absolutely right. I mean, if you are conscious of the fact and you go in and you have an abortion and you know the consequences, you're automatically excommunicated. You can take a look at, I think it's canon. It's in canon law. I think it's 1398. But the penalty is not just imposed upon the woman who has had the abortion. Any Catholic accomplice in the act of procuring an abortion, even though not specifically mentioned in that canon, receives the same penalty of excommunication. So let's say there was an accomplice to this. The doctor who performs the abortion, the nurse who assisted in the procedure, the person who pays for it, maybe that's the boyfriend or the person who drove them there. they're all guilty of that act, and thereby they receive the just penalty. And again, the code is, I just pulled it up here, code 1329. You can check that out as well. But again, I mean, you have to be aware of this. And you know, there's a lot of people who listen. Maybe there's a canon lawyer out there. The Holy Father, you used to have to go to your bishop to have that particular excommunication lifted if you were in that state. But the Holy Pope Francis allowed, you know, priests to have that as well. So, Brian, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the point you made at the very end there, I think, is important to understand is that people have to have knowledge of what they are doing before that canon takes effect. So even the woman who procures an abortion, if she is not fully aware and understanding of the consequences and what she's doing completely, maybe she's being coerced. Maybe there's some other reason that has her there, and she just doesn't understand what Catholic teaching really is. She's incurred mortal sin, which in essence should excommunicate us from going to communion, prohibit us from going to communion ourselves until we get reconciliation with the church, correct? But she may not have received that automatic excommunication that's in that canon. On the other hand, like you said, if she fully understands what she's doing, the boyfriend fully understands what he's doing when he pays and drives her there, parents, you know, whoever it may be, if they're fully aware of what they are doing and how wrong it is, then I think it does fit everybody at that time.
And here's the thing. God is so merciful. Anyone who's had that abortion or has been involved in it, if you're Catholic, get to confession. Ask God for his mercy. He's there to grant it to you. And if you've made this mistake, maybe you're not Catholic, ask God for his mercy. You know, and you know, make sure you can do whatever you can to atone for that. We only have a couple minutes left here. I want to get back to our conversation here, Brian, and want to put a plug in for your organization. You've been doing a lot of good work there. What do you see coming in the very, you know, in the not too distant future? I think Dobbs is going to, I think Roe's going to be overturned. I think the Dobbs decision is going to come out any day, probably the last day of the Supreme Court's session. Then we got threats from groups like Jane's Revenge and all these other groups that are out there. How big do you think this is going to be? A lot of violence or not so, since abortion in some respects will remain legal as it goes to the, you know, the state level in a lot of states around the country?
Right. Well, you know, it's guessing at this point as to what's going to happen with regard to how people will respond, especially from the pro-abortion end. I don't think, and we've seen movements in the past over decades now where violence will erupt for a while with something, but then it starts to fade or people start to get prosecuted. They get caught and that ends it. You know, if violence does bing up a bit from this point, I think it will be short-lived. You know what really I'm more concerned about is how we as pro-lifers, as Catholics, respond. And if our response is to be fearful and to cower and to go into the corner and hide, we've got the problem now. I know that this can be a very dangerous thing. I know people could be really harmed. I'm not taking that lightly. I don't want that to happen to me. But at the same time, you know, we're called to be courageous. We're called to be followers of Jesus Christ. You know, our faith is in God. Our hands are in him, his saints, his angels. You know, we're not alone. We've got the power of the living God to be present to care for us, even if it means we are harmed in the process. And I think this is going to be a good time to test our faith and how really solid it is.
Well, beautiful message to leave us with. And I want to put a plug in for your group. I know you're a nonprofit as well, and I know you're doing a lot of great work out there. You're on the air every weekend with us here and on Relevant. We're grateful for that, too. If people want to follow you, get in touch, what's the best way to do that?
Well, they can, like you said, they can go to our website, plam.org, plam.org, and see all the stuff that we're doing and get signed up for our newsletter and get involved anywhere they want to.
Sounds great. Brian, we'll catch up again soon. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. God bless you.
Hey, have a happy Father's Day, too.
Thank you. You too.
All right. It's Brian Gibson. Check him out. Plam.org. That's the website. When we come back, it has been an unbelievable week. The Fed have raised the rates by 0.75%. and the market has just been on a slide. Dave Ramsey has said that gas prices and inflation show really this left-wing socialist policies don't work. We have talk of even more spending coming up. What does the future look like for you? How bad will the economy get, or are we going to get out of it? You know, how long will it last? That's what I want to look at. Take a look at the impact of interest rates and fuel and so much more. Peter Grandage will stop by, the Wall Street whiz kid, former Wall Street whiz kid and wise guy. All right. I'll call them both. I'm going to give him the wise guy. He is wise when I return. Stay with me.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The only person that gets hurt on a roller coaster are those that jump off in the middle of the ride. Ride the coaster, baby.
So if
ride,
you're staring baby, ride. At the 401k balance, you're saying don't freak out.
I'm saying quit staring at your 401k balance. I haven't even looked at mine. Now, here's the deal. You are not in this for a two-week play. Your 401k is not a two-week play. It's not a two-month play. It's not a two-year play. Your 401k is a 20 or a 40-year play. And so all you should care about is where the market's going to be when you get there. That's all you should care about. You don't have to care about what it is in a given moment.
You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I want to give you a little bit of hope because you know what? I know a lot of people looking at their 401k. It was a little from Dave Ramsey. He was asked a question on a show about the bear market sinking 20%. You can't help. If you got a 403b, a 401k, if you're getting ready to retire, you're putting money in and you're saying, oh my gosh, I just sit on the sidelines and wait till things stop and then get back in. His advice is, hey, it's not 2 weeks, not 2 days, not 2 weeks, not 2 months, not 2 years. You're in it for the long run. My next guest is going to join me in a second here. I appreciate his view because he's kind of predicted where all this was heading. Yeah, he really has. I know you've heard Peter Grandage on the program many times in the past, but I'll tell you what. I was thinking about what he has said over the years. And we'll take your calls. If you want to get in and talk to Peter, it's a good time to call. Phones will fill up pretty quickly. You know, he's been on the show. I don't know how long I've been talking with Peter now. He's become a friend. He's been talking just numerous times that between Labor Day and the end of the year, there was going to be a major change. He suggested investors sell all general equities and bonds before 2022. You remember that? You know, everybody's asking, well, what do I do? You know, where's the market heading? What do you think is going to happen to the economy? Peter had this belief that America had entered the worst economic, social, and political era that it has seen in a long time. We talked about cryptocurrency. I've had a couple different guests on. Some guests, huge proponents of crypto. Peter was one of those guys who said, what, are you crazy? $65,000. That's what Bitcoin was selling at. I saw, I don't know what the number is today, but a couple days ago, I'd seen the number pop up. I should probably look right now. It was trading at like $24,000 a Bitcoin, which is still, you know, it's still a significant amount of money. But think about that. $65,000, and now it's all the way down, you know, to whoever invested down to 20,000. I'm looking it up right now. $20,400. It continues to plummet. You know what Peter said? He called the cryptocurrency phenomena rage, you know, spike, whatever however you want to put this mania. He compared it to the tulip mania of the 21st century. I don't know if he called it the tulip mania of the 21st century. The actual tulip mania took place in 17th century Holland. I don't know if you know the history behind that. I saw a documentary on this once, or I saw some piece. I don't know where I saw it. Actually, a fascinating story. Maybe Peter could share a little bit more with us when he's on. But there was this tulip mania in Holland. I'm thinking tulips? Yeah. Tulips were introduced to Europe from Turkey around 1550, somewhere like that, and then they were delicately formed. And, you know, of course, tulips are beautiful flowers, vividly colored. So they became a very popular item, but as a result, they became a very costly item, right? And this mania set in during the Dutch Golden Age when contract prices for some bulbs that had been introduced received these, they went up to these weird, extraordinarily high levels, right? And people couldn't get enough. So they saw this major acceleration starting, it was like 1634. It went wild, just like crypto did in our country. But what happened? 3 years later, February of 1637, this mania, the bubble popped. And everything collapsed. People lost a lot of money. Tulip traders could no longer find buyers who were willing to pay these inflated prices for their bulbs. And then when that realization set in, the demand for the tulips collapsed, the price plummeted, and that speculative bubble burst. And that's a little history for you. But Peter saw crypto kind of being the equivalent of that today. And you know what? I got to say he's right. Like I said, a couple days ago, it was $24,000. $4,000 crypto loss just a couple days, a couple hours, if you think about it. It's pretty amazing. The Federal Reserve did what a lot of observers figured that they would do, and they raised interest rates 0.75%. That's the biggest increase since 1994. And predictably, investors have not been very happy with that. And stocks did climb on the day of the rate announcement, and they've been mostly in decline this week, and they're now officially we're now in a bear market. So the Dow went down below 30,000, and other indices lost between, I think, 2-3% almost daily. They're slightly up today, but these declines, they also came as inflation keeps going up, with the last indicator showing the producer price index going up nearly 11% last month. And again, on top of that, 11% gain in April. So that's going to hurt consumers pretty badly as retailers now pass on those costs to us in the coming months. So we might be in Biden's recession. You know, the interest rate increase should cool the housing market, I would think. You know, house builders aren't very optimistic about the future. Building permits and housing starts were down about 14% last month. But when interest rates climb, you know, it makes some homes unaffordable for certain people. But there are concerns that the sharp interest rate increase will do exactly what the Fed doesn't want to see happen. It'll throw us into a recession. Some economists are even predicting an immediate recession. And Joe Biden says, it's not going to happen. Others are saying, it'll come later, maybe next year. So here to give us his sense of where we are heading is none other than Peter Grandage, the former Wall Street whiz kid, not the Wall Street wise guy, like I sometimes like to call him, but he is a wise guy. He's got a lot of wisdom. And as I said, you know, he accurately predicted where crypto was going, when you should have gotten out, and, where we're heading. And again, if you want to hear his story, you want to tap into his expertise, you can follow him. PeterGrandage.com is his website. His book is called Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. You can check that out as well. And it's always good to have Peter with us here on the program. And Peter, thank you for joining me. I was just sharing, I don't know whether you were on in queue with me or not, but I was just sharing with everyone how you made this connection. You know, you said many times on the show that between Labor Day and the end of the year, investors should sell all their general equities, all their bonds, before 2022 arrived, because you believe that we as a nation were entering into troubled waters, the worst economic, social, and political era that you've seen in a long time. And, of course, cautioned people about Bitcoin. I just shared a little history on the tulip mania that took place in the 17th century. First of all, congratulations on your accuracy. And I know you don't rejoice in that, but, man, I just got to applaud you publicly for that, and bring you on to take questions and get your sense of where we're now going. Now that you were accurate, is a recession coming, and what do you see looming in the future?
Well, first of all, after hearing that wise guy thing, I think I should answer by going, hey, how you doing?
Peter, it was so funny. I know you heard the promo that ran. I was so tired. I think it was the other day or two. I was so zoned out. And I'm like, Peter Grandage, the former Wall Street wise guy? I just could not get, whiz kid out for some reason. And one of my colleagues here, Neil Robbins, who does a lot of our imaging, put that together. And I laughed so hard. Maggie did. And I'm glad you're a good sport about it. It's always good, though, to have you here.
Yeah, I put it up on my blog post today. I thought it was very, very cute, and don't mind it being done. Listen, I appreciate what you said about the forecasting and all. I give praise to the Holy Spirit because I believe I was touched and inspired by it. But I didn't come escape completely myself either. For what little I did stay in is down as well. So there were only two that walked on water. I'm not St. Peter, so I'm just normal Peter, Peter Granage. But if I can, just pause for a moment, and I'd be glad to answer any questions you have. I have to congratulate you. I listened to the top of your show, Drew, and I've been advocating, because as you know, it's very rare for someone to do what I do now, tying my Catholic Christian faith openly and proudly into matters of finance. It closes a lot more doors than it opens, and some of the doors that slam, some of those people, they resort to saying things that are probably as bad as what people hear at you know, places of, you know, that try to prevent abortion and all, as you and your guests spoke about. So to be outspoken as you have, if we don't have the courage as you did at the top of the show, we're going to see what happened in Germany. There were a lot of people that saw what was happening in the early stages and didn't say anything. And by the time it came around for them to say anything, they were at their door, too. So praise be to God for that courage. I was so glad to hear you speak it. I've never been more prouder and honored to be part of your show and Relevant Radio as I was at the top of the show. So I want to say that before I say anything about the markets. So, Drew, just...
Well, thank you, Peter. That means a lot. It does. I for some reason, those statements and those examples from our elected officials who profess Catholicism, it's just scandalous. And it just, I don't know, my blood boiled today when I saw it. I just went off, but I'm grateful because I think the truth also, it resonates, and I think people need to hear it.
Yeah, and like your guest said, is we have to be mindful and so forth, but if we stay quiet, it's only going to get worse. By being quiet, relatively quiet, we've gotten to this stage. And always remember, the demonic forces don't take time off, okay? They don't take a time out. They're going 24/7, 365. So if we don't invoke our faith at all times, we're going to lose that. We're going to lose. We know the war was won already at the cross, but we're going to have trouble winning the battles that we all going to have to go through because we all face demonic forces. So with that in mind, I'll segue into answering what you asked, I believe, about general markets and all. Yeah, it was not an easy thing to do. I don't think there were many people saying sell all general equities, and especially bonds. If you remember, even you were shocked when I first said it. You said, Pete, bonds? And I said, yeah, because unfortunately interest rates are so low and they have to go higher, and with they going higher, you could always buy some stocks that don't go down with a bear market. But if interest rates go up, bond prices go down. That's just the way of the world. And you remember we talked about, I said one of the things I was concerned about, the consumer price index was at that point higher than what junk bonds were yielding, another negative signal. So all those things being said, it really doesn't matter now. You can pat yourself on the back and do it, but the only thing people are going to ask, well, what do you think about the future? Well, I always say this to you. No one knows the future, okay? Well, maybe after 38 years, I can make a little bit better educated guess than someone that doesn't spend the time that I spent in it. But I do think there are a couple things clear and evident. We're hearing a lot of people now in the financial community saying, oh, it's time to buy, or it's capitulation and all that stuff. Just remember this before you make your decision one way or another. The times they're comparing it to, 2008, 2000, 1987, this was a completely different environment at that time. First of all, when I entered the business in the 1980s, we were the world's largest creditor nation. Now we have 30 trillion. I still find it hard to use the word trillion, let alone 30 of them. Yeah. But we have 30 trillion in hard debt. And remember, that doesn't count Social Security, Medicare and Medicaid that most people are expecting to count on, and that the government has to come up with some way to pay for it, and they're going to have to borrow to do that. So that was one thing. Politically, there's no way we could say that around the world we're viewed in the same manner as we were back in the 1980s. We're just not. We don't have as many allies as we did. There's a lot more troubles around the world. We see one now, terrible war going on, so forth and so on. Socially, I've said this to you. I don't know other than perhaps going into the Civil War, was America more divided? There is, not only has the middle class been beaten up and basically, you know, evaporating, so has middle ground. I mean, it really has. It's either left or right now. And if you don't think it is, you're going to be forced almost by one side against the other to make a stand, and people are concerned about that. That's why wokeism is able to flourish as it is, and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, perhaps the most important thing is the political. Right. Listen, you brought up, let's forget for a matter, for his religious beliefs for a matter, mm-hmm. and all. There is clear indication that this man is having a difficulty with day-to-day functions. He's not operating full-time, you know, 3.5 months in between press conferences, and then when he goes on a talk show, and that's recorded, you know, during the day. I mean, there's a lot of concern, political aspects of not only about the presidency, but mm-hmm. other areas, Congress, what we're seeing now, how the Supreme Court is being attacked. And, you know, I mean, there are laws where people should not be standing outside any Supreme Court justice or any justice and doing what's doing. So there's a lot yeah. of issues. What I want to say to your viewers, before you run back and just think, well, it always pulls back, mm-hmm. or you always buy it, it's a lot different this time. It really is.
All right, Peter, hold the thought. I have to take a short break. When we come back, let's talk more. I only have, my guess, maybe another 10, 15 minutes. If you want to get in, you have a question, a concern, an insight, we'd love to hear from you. You can pull up a chair, 888-914-9149. Feel free to join the conversation, 888-914-9149. The chaplet is coming up in about 15 minutes, too. We'll pray for our country. But, boy, a lot to look at. And I think Peter's right. We are definitely living in a different time.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, live, coming up. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for praying with me. We'll pray the chaplet in just a few minutes. Do me a favor. Tell one other person about the chaplet. Tell them about the program. I think they'll be enriched, informed. I think they'll enjoy it. At least I hope they will. Doing my best to keep you informed. And right now, if you're joining me, I'm speaking with Peter Grandage. He's known as the Wall Street Whiz Kid. Check him out. PeterGrandage.com is his website. He has been on point, even when a lot of people thought this guy was wrong. And Peter, I just want to pick up on one thing, then we'll dive into the phones. You know, I was thinking about the bear market. We ran a piece of audio. I don't know whether you heard it from Dave Ramsey saying, hey, look, don't look at your 401k. You know, don't worry about it because, you know, it's not a 2-day, 2-week, 2-month, 2-year thing. It's long term. Ride the waves. When a bear market arrives, you know, especially for investors making short term decisions, it can be tough. But bear market, for those who don't know, refers to when stocks drop about 20% or more from their recent peak. And there are signs right now of extreme negative sentiment on Wall Street and, you know, sell-offs. And we haven't seen anything like this. I think historically there have been about 17 bear markets or near bear markets. So when the 18th comes around and it's certain to arrive, I think we're going to definitely see it. People are in for a ride. The S&P 500 is down almost 20% from its high in January. So we are in, you know, I think very difficult water. Peter, you don't see, you say this is very different than where we were before. I want to speak to the average person who was relying on their 401k or their 403b. You know, they take money out of their check. It goes to their future. Is Ramsey right? Do we write it out? You know, it is. I guess, does it depend on how much more time you have before retirement? Can you speak to the investor out there based on that and based on what we're now seeing?
Well, first of all, I unfortunately couldn't hear it. We had a little technical difficulty, but I would respect anything Dave Ramsey has to say. I think over time, if someone, for my personal views, and that's all these are my personal observations, I think if someone had an horizon past 5 or 10 years, if there's still anybody that exists that way, I would say yes. You could ride it out, see a lot of trouble, and maybe still end up on the right side. But I think there are so many things that have come together, a perfect storm, unlike anything in the modern times. And let me make a couple points I think could help be helpful to no matter what views people have.
Sure.
First of all, understand, this is real critical. The typical advisor that is giving advice now, licensed in the U.S., I can only speak for the U.S., is in the business less than 12 years, the average. So that means they haven't even experienced the last financial crisis. The last time we had any sustained bear market, which was, I mean, past a few months or a downdraft that might have lasted a year or so, you have to go back several decades, which almost eliminates just about everybody. But that's important to remember. We had periods of as much as 27 years where the Dow traded just between 700 and 1,000. In fact, just before this great bull market began, which helped get me into this business, most people believed that the stock market was forever dead. In fact, there was a famous front page Business Week issue that said stocks are dead. And almost everybody was predicting, you know, that the stock market was going to stay between that 700,000. And this young guy came out of Georgia named Robert Prechter, and he predicted 3,700 on the Dow when it was under 1,000. People thought he was nuts. Well, fast forward, we had the greatest bull market. For 40 years, we had a bull market almost undisturbed in bonds. And now we saw ourselves last year basically 180 degrees opposite. Everybody, we created this thing, you know, I called it tulip mania of the 21st century, but cryptocurrencies couldn't miss, didn't matter, can come out, dog coin, cat coin, pig coin, whatever it is, it's going to go up. And then we had 21, 22, maybe 23-year-old internet-born experts out of pandemic being put on live financial networks telling us the great future that the markets or cryptocurrency holds and all, when in fact the only real challenge they've ever had into life up until them was a few years ago in algebra class. So I think the important thing is experience. I think people don't recognize a lot of things that appear to be here again, things like inflation that no one's gone through, political stagnation. We have a supply issue. This is not just a demand issue. It's great. You raise interest rates. Eventually, you raise them high enough. Yeah, you knock off a lot of demand. But no one thought during the pandemic, Drew, that if we locked down everything, we stopped making things. We only found out then that a lot of things that we make and depend on even aren't even made here.
You're right.
And they're being made in places that whether or not they can bring themselves to developing or not, they may not want to because they're not the best of our friends. So I just think there's a whole lot of different things you have to take into consideration going forward that maybe weren't prudent or needed to be in past clients.
Lord have mercy. Lucinda.
Well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to go home. You're going to go home sulking. Your wife's going to say, what did you have, Peter Grandage on again?
Yes.
And you're going to go through the whole routine. Well, listen, you're going to have a chance to get a little bit of revenge because I'm booking my wife and my dearest friend who passed away recently, his widow, to go on that trip with you, by the way, to Israel.
And it's going to be great. I'm going to love – I have not met your wife. I cannot wait to do that. I often say, Peter you know, when you take these trips together, you become lifelong friends. So that's going to be a great journey, and I can't wait to meet her. And that was the friend we prayed for. He recently died. It was one of your best friends, right?
He was a Catholic evangelist. In fact, it's what really led me to be Relevant Radio. Tom knew him quite well. Tom is the one who first suggested to you, I don't know how many years ago now, to come on the show. And ever since then, I've been ruining your Friday nights every other week.
I love it, though, Peter. You've been accurate. You're on point. I love the way you share your faith. It's wonderful. If anyone wants to join Peter's wife and, of course, his friend's wife and join Kathy, my wife, and me, we're going to be heading to Israel October. And all the information is at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. Relevantradio.com/Holy Land. I know they're going to be closing that trip down soon. I'm not quite sure when, a couple weeks maybe, but check it out. And if you can join us, great. If you can't, send me those prayer intentions. There's a little petition list there. I'll pray for you, and I'm sure everyone
on the
trip will be praying. Yeah.
I just want to ask anybody that's going on a trip, don't take it out on my wife on anything I said.
That's for sure. All right, well, we'll move along. We'll go to Lucinda in Brandon, Florida. She's been waiting to speak to you. Peter, hi, Lucinda.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Yeah,
great.
Go right ahead.
Okay, so I wanted to make a comment on the cryptocurrency Bitcoin. I know that the market has reached some highs, and it's currently really low. There's some information that's been presented by Richard Hart. You could find him on Twitter, but he basically said that the market has dropped before 85%, and Bitcoin specifically, and it's going to be dropping again all the way down to 11,000.
Wow.
So,
So and your thoughts are that it's a good buy when it gets down, or you just think it's going to continue to drop?
I think it's going to continue to drop all the way down. My sources were 16,000, but he's actually well-versed, and he thinks it's going to go down to 11,000 based off of past statistics.
Right.
I would buy around that time, you know.
Lucinda, let me do this. Thank you for calling. I got about a minute left, so I want to give Peter the final thoughts on that. Bitcoin's going to continue to go down. As I said, I looked at it the other day. It was 24. Today it's 20. It seems to continue to go down. You heard, Lucinda, your thoughts.
Well, people like to talk about that, but that was at a time when it was a very small market relative to the amount of people and other types of coins that have come out. We've seen the at-market cryptocurrency be valued in November at $3 trillion, and now it's only a trillion. $2 trillion went somewhere. It went to money heaven, Drew. So like I said all along, there'll be an eventual shakeout, just like the internet bubble. There will be survivors. There will be some sort of cryptocurrencies to go forward on. But because so many of them are out there and were so highly priced and so highly touted by people that I felt were unprofessional is the reason that generated why I thought I'd be out. She may be right. I think once this breaks below 20,000, I don't know how far it's going to fall.
Yeah.
And maybe it does come a trade, but it's not an alternative money factor. It's a speculative, high-risk speculative investment. That's all it is.
Peter, I've got to leave it right there. We're going to pray the chaplet. I want to pray for you. I hope Tara, your daughter, and your beautiful wife, spoil you this Father's Day. Have a blessed one, okay?
Same to you. God bless you.
God bless you. That's Peter Grandage. The chaplet is straight ahead.